discipleship and young families here at Foley United Methodist Church. It is my joy and my pleasure to bring the word to you today. So if you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. We all know the rules here. When you get there, you must yell out amen enthusiastically with the Spirit fueling you. Daniel is right after Ezekiel and just before Hosea. Had to check. So we're going to be reading verses 28 through 37. 28 through 37. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. The king declared, "Isn't this Babylon, the magnificent city that I built as a royal house by my own mighty strength and for my own majestic glory?" These words hadn't even left the king's mouth when a voice came from heaven. "You, King Nebuchadnezzar, are now informed. Kingship is taken away from you. You will be driven away from other humans and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. And 7 periods of time will pass over you until you acknowledge that the Most High dominates human kingship, giving it to anyone he wants." Nebuchadnezzar's sentence was immediately carried out. He was driven away from other humans and ate grass like cattle. Dew from heaven washed his body until he grew hair like eagle's feathers and claws like a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes to heaven. My reasoning was returned to me. I praised the Most High. I worshiped and glorified the one who lives forever because his rule is everlasting. His kingdom is for all time. All of earth's inhabitants are nothing in comparison. The Most High does whatever he wants with heaven's forces and with earth's inhabitants. No one can contain his power or say to him, "What do you think you're doing?" So at that moment, my reason returned to me, my honor and splendor came back to me for the glory of my kingdom. My associates and my princes wanted to be with me again. Not only was I reinstated over my kingdom, I received more power than ever before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, worship, magnify, and glorify the King of Heaven. All his works are truth. All his paths are justice. And he is able to humble all who walk in pride. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we are in week 2 of a series on peace. What it means to have true peace. Peace with God, peace with self, and peace with others. This is my favorite question every time I preach. Do we remember what we preached about last week? Well, peace, yes. Obviously. But what did we talk about? We talked about Paul. We talked about control. That's right, y'all. Oh, at least a few people heard me. That's all. That's always a preacher's fear. Did anybody listen? But we talked about peace. We talked about letting go of control, recognizing that we have no control, and recognizing that our lives are unmanageable. That's the first part of finding true peace, is recognizing that we can't manufacture it on our own. We also talked about a spiritual discipline that you were supposed to practice this week. Kind of a combination of solitude, finding time alone with God, and then practicing submission, doing whatever your kids wanted, doing whatever your spouse wanted to do, following the speed limit for a week. Did anybody practice those? Did anybody start to or say, yeah, I'm really going to? And as soon as you did, it became really hard and really uncomfortable. So you said, you know, the preacher's never going to know. Why is it that when we try to let go of control or we try to recognize that our life is unmanageable and we go to God and we say, God, I'm turning this over. Why is it that we don't get 5 minutes? We don't make it 5 minutes before we grab the reins back from God and say, no, I can't do this. It's too hard. I have to look too deep inside. Today, I want to talk about power. The power we think we have. The power we use to build our kingdoms. You may say, we don't have a kingdom. I don't have a kingdom. I'm not a king or a queen of anything. But you are. You've built your own kingdom. Look at your family. How well is that family? Have you groomed that family? Have you made your family perfect and this is your pride and joy? Look at your job. How many years have you put into your job and said, I am great at what I do. I've worked hard. I have built my life and created the life that I've always wanted. Or if you're retired, how many of you have gotten to your golden years and now you're living the life that you wanted to live? Is gold the wrong one? Silver years, is that better? We build kingdoms for ourselves. We build our lives based on what we know. We build our lives based on what we can mass, what we can gather together, what we can control, what we can define as the perfect life. Sometimes we do that based on our own ideals and goals. Sometimes we do that based on cultural ideals and goals. Has anybody in here ever heard of the American dream? Is that our culture that we live in? What does it say? Earn as much as you can. Do whatever makes you happy. Create for you the perfect dream life. They call it a life, but it's really a kingdom. Create your own kingdom is really what the American dream is all about. And when things go wrong, what do? We do everything we can to control the mess, to fit the pieces back together, to pull our kingdom back, to fortify the walls, to put archers in the towers, to keep every defense up and running. Because heaven forbid we lose control of our kingdom. Because I am the king, I am the queen of my own life. Am I the only one that feels that way? Am I the only one that builds my own kingdom? Nebuchadnezzar was a great king of Babylon. He was actually a good king. He built Babylon and took over mass territories, including Israel. And what he would do is he would invade a country and then he would kidnap the people or have some of the people and bring them back to his lands in order to keep those occupied territories under control. Now God favored the Israelites. We all know that. But God allowed Judah to be overrun. But God also gave favor to Daniel and some of his friends. Does anybody know the names of Daniel's friends? There we go. It's a great song. Does anybody know it? I'm not going to sing it. I don't know. God gave them favor in the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar. So much so that Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel the head magician in his administration. Now, Nebuchadnezzar did not believe in our God. He had multiple gods. But Daniel was faithful to the one true God. Nebuchadnezzar ended up having this dream one night. This dream of a really tall tree that was perfect, that reached to the heavens, that produced fruit that people from all over could eat from. The tree could be seen to the edges of the world, from the edges of the world. But the tree was chopped down. And Nebuchadnezzar was worried. He didn't know what the dream meant. He went to his fellow magicians and asked them what it meant. But they couldn't tell him. So he called for Daniel. And Daniel came and explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And he told Nebuchadnezzar, "You are the tree. Your glory and your splendor is massive. Everybody knows who you are. But you're going to be cut down. You're going to be sent out into the fields to eat grass like the cattle, to be washed by the dew of heaven. If you don't turn your ways and recognize the one true God." Nebuchadnezzar heard that. In the Bible, we pick up in the passage where it says, a few years later, Nebuchadnezzar is walking around the top of his palace. And what does he do? He's got to speak up. What does he do? He boasts. "Look at Babylon. Look at this city I've built. Look at all I have done. Look at all of this glory that speaks to my majesty." And immediately the axe falls and the tree is cut down. And Nebuchadnezzar is drawn or made to have his senses are taken away. His reasoning is taken away. He's made insane and he's forced out of his kingdom into the fields where the very cows are eating, and that's where he lives. The image of his hair growing to be like eagle's feathers, covering him. The image of his fingernails growing like claws of a bird is not the image of a king. That would never happen to us, though. Because this is Old Testament, and God doesn't work that way anymore. Because the God of the Old Testament, is he the same God of the New Testament? He is. We don't build castles and cities and glorious, splendorous things like Nebuchadnezzar, right? You don't drive down our beach and see 32-story condos, right? That could get wiped out by a hurricane. We don't build our own financial kingdoms, which are destroyed by the loss of a loved one or by financial ruin or by personal illness or challenge, right? That doesn't happen to us. But when it does happen to us, what do we do? What do we do? What's the first question we ask when something goes wrong? Why me? How could you let this happen to me? Do you know who I am? Do you know how my life is supposed to be? Lord, I have planned everything perfectly. Why me? And we cling to the power we think we have. We cling to the control that we think we have. We cling and hope for and scramble around trying to find the peace that we built and we understand. But in order to find true peace, in order to find the peace of God that is so permanent, so strong, so present that nothing can interfere with, we have to recognize we are powerless. We are nothing. We are cattle in the fields, wandering around, grazing off of fields without knowing what's happening around us. That's why that challenge last week is so hard, right? Letting go of control, admitting our lives are unmanageable, ultimately is admitting to ourselves that we are powerless. Powerless. It leaves us empty. It leaves us lost. It leaves us lonely. It leaves us hungry, looking, searching for something to fill that void. The next part of finding peace is finding the power of God that He has promised to give us. It's finding the God that we claim to believe in. It's understanding that our God is a creator God, a sustainer God, a redeemer God, a restoring God. It's understanding that God has all of the power and wants to use it to bless us, wants to use it to give us life, wants to use it for us. He's not giving it to us to control, but He has it so that we can cling to Him and He can take care of us. He can give us life beyond what we can build for ourselves. Because you know what happens when our kingdom gets destroyed? When we can find it in ourselves to let go of that illusion of power, that illusion of control. Do you know what happens when we can get to a point in our lives where we peer up from the fields and say, "You are the Most High. You are the one true God. You are everything, and you have all the power." Do you know what happens when we do that? Look at Nebuchadnezzar. "At the end of that time, I raised my eyes to heaven, my reason returned to me, and I praised the Most High. I worshiped and glorified the one who lives forever. All of earth's inhabitants are nothing. The Most High does whatever He wants." When we get to that point, "My honor and splendor came back to me for the glory of my kingdom. My associates and my princes wanted to be with me again. Not only was I reinstated over my kingdom, I received more power than ever before." You know why? Because God has all the power. God has more power than we ever will, than we ever thought we had. And when we turn to Him, when we let go, when we get down deep inside of ourselves and we recognize that we are brokenness and nothingness and emptiness, and we look up to God and say, "You are everything we need," and we let go of the control that says we have to live the life that we know, then what happens is God begins to speak inside of us. He begins to pour out his power inside of us. He begins to fill us with this peace, this understanding, this knowledge that everything is controlled, is created by, is made for him. And he made us so that he could show his glory through us, so that he could shine his power to the rest of the world in each of us. If you want peace beyond understanding, then you have to recognize that the only place it comes from is from the most powerful, the most high, the most glorious God, the one true God. And in order to do that, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to do the hard stuff. You're going to have to let your kingdom fall. You're going to have to lose power. Give it up. Lose control. Let the walls be broken. Let the enemy in. Let your life fall apart. And just trust in God. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Last week, we gave you the first spiritual discipline. Two-part spiritual discipline. Solitude, right? Getting by yourself. Quiet, allowing the innermost parts of you to speak to God and being aware of what is stirred up, where that hurt is, where that fear is, where that pain is, when you think about giving up your life, losing your life, when you think about your kingdom being broken, what happens? If any of you in here say nothing, it's fine. I know you're lying. Because when I do it, I'm telling you, I'm scared to death. I don't know what's going to happen. When I admit that I don't have the power to protect my family. When the job I have is not mine, but God's, and I can lose it tomorrow. Fear, worry, doubt, anger. But unless I expose that to myself and to God, then I can't do anything about it. That's what happens in solitude when you're honest with yourself, when you're truthful with yourself. Last week we talked about submission. Did anybody try submission? How hard was it? Be honest. It's hard. It's hard. This week, I want you to keep practicing last week's, but I'm issuing a new challenge. It's going to be just as fun. We're going to continue with solitude. We talked about last week the three parts that make up a truly spiritual life that follows the life model that Jesus gave us. Solitude, radical obedience, and authentic community. Last week we talked about radical obedience and solitude. This week we're going to talk about solitude and authentic community. And if you thought you were scared before, you just wait till you hear this challenge. Because what I want you to do is spend some time in solitude asking God, allowing God to work deep down inside your heart, being aware of those places that have the big X's on it that says, do not enter, you will not like what you see inside this chamber of your heart. And when you enter into those places and you ask them, how much power do I think I have? How much of my life is controlled by the power that I think I have? And what happens if I admit to those places that I don't have the power I thought I had? Where is it in you that that manifests itself? Do you run screaming from the dark? Do you slam the door shut and put a lock on it so that nobody can ever go into that space again and you will never risk giving up power? So in those moments of solitude, when you find those places that make you want to run, those are the places I'm daring you to dig into and to be honest with yourself. And then here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. What I want you to do is to call somebody that you're close to, and I want you to be authentic with them, because remember, you don't have the power to control your own life. I want you to go to somebody else and say, I am powerless in this part of my life. Man, don't you want to be that close with somebody? To go up and say, Charlie, I really struggle right here. And every time I think about the fact that I don't have the power to control this, I break down in tears. I fear of what might happen if I let go of that power. And the reason this is the challenge is because in order to live a life that God called us to, in order to have the peace that God promises us, we have to have a component of authentic community in our lives, because God did not create us as all equals. God created us as all individuals. But the good thing about it is we were all created in His image, and we all struggle with the same things. And until we begin to realize that, until we begin to understand that we are not alone in this struggle with our lives, that we will never be able to grow together, to be the body that God called us to be, to live into the power that God is trying to pour into us through each other. We will never be able to experience the kingdom that God has for us, the kingdom of heaven, until we learn that we're not going to make it on our own and that we can't power our way through the struggles of life and depend on ourselves to get there. So the challenge this week is to admit that you can't do it, and to admit it to somebody else and say, I need help. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I have grown up my entire life learning how to build a family, learning how to be a good worker, learning how to build a life that is comfortable, that is safe, that is protected, and is the dream of all I've ever thought of. But Lord, to hear your word that says it's not mine, that I have no power over it, that I have no control over it, scares me to death. What do you mean I can't control the life I have built? But Lord, if I want to be honest, I want to know the God I put my faith in. I want to know the God I claim to believe in. Lord, the power and the glory and the honor that is yours, I want to give to you. I don't want to take away from it. I want to let go of it and give it all to you, to trust you, to live in faith with you, to walk in your ways, and to trust you with all that I have, with all that I am. Lord, grant us strength and courage this week, not to run in fear when we see those places in our lives that we've guarded from, that we've locked up so far deep down inside that we never have to think about again. Grant us courage to walk into those spaces and to turn them over to you and to admit our brokenness, our weakness, to admit that we are powerless. And then, Lord, grant us even more courage to trust in you, to trust when you say we are created to be your body, to trust when you say we cannot do this alone. Grant us more courage than we've ever had before so that we can reach out to somebody else and to admit that to them, to admit that we're broken, to admit that we're powerless, to admit that everything we've tried to do, we're so scared to lose. Lord, and then let them just be who they are. Lord, and then we give that to you. We ask that in the midst of that brokenness, in the midst of that weakness, in the midst of that authentic community, you would reveal yourselves to us in a new way. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn 368, My Hope Is Built. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace in every dire and stormy.